just pray briefly. Heavenly Father, we thank thee again today for thy precious word. And we do ask, O Lord, that thou be with us now as we seek to open these things up. It might be done with grace, it may be done seriously and spiritually, and to the profit, Lord, of those who hear it, and also to the profit of my own soul. Father, do give thy servants, Lord, a heart for thy word and a heart for the people, a heart especially for the lost. We thank thee that the Lord Jesus Christ had a heart of compassion for those who were diseased in their body and also spiritually diseased too. Grant to us his compassion, we pray, as we preach. And Father, do apply thy word to our hearts tonight. We ask it in his name and for his sake. Amen. Amen. Well, dear friends, tonight's text is from the end of Mark chapter 1, it's verses 40 to 45. And because I read it to you earlier on, I won't read it again. Just to tell you that the parallel passages to this one in the other two synoptic gospels are Matthew 8, verses 2 to 4, and Luke chapter 5, and verses 12 to 16. I also won't read it because there's quite a few notes to go through this evening in relation to these verses. But let's just recap from a fortnight ago. We were looking at verses 35 to 39, if you remember. And those verses are about the Lord Jesus Christ and about some of his disciples, not all of them. It's going to be perhaps just the four that he called, as we read earlier on in this chapter. And we saw first one in verse 35 about his pre-dawn prayer. He's going out very early in the morning to pray on this particular day. Secondly, Simon caught up with him with the other three disciples, with his brother and James and John, and exclaimed to him that everybody's seeking for him, wondering where he's gone. And you remember that our Lord gives his answer in verses 38 and also continues his ministry of preaching and demon expulsion throughout all Galilee, because he said to him that he must go and preach the gospel in other places too, not only in Capernaum. So last time it was about our Lord Jesus Christ and his disciples, of course, because we're in a gospel here, and this gospel, like all the other gospels, indeed like the whole of Scripture, is about Christ. Still dealing with Christ in this last passage of chapter 1. And here we have another instance of his healing somebody. In this chapter we've already had his healing Simon Peter's mother-in-law and the man in the temple, expelling a demon out of him and healing a whole host of people later on in the chapter. But here's an instance of his cleansing one particular individual. Christ miraculously cleansing or healing a man who is suffering from leprosy, a man who is suffering from Hansen's disease. This disease that afflicted quite a few people in those parts, still does today, and that we read about quite a deal in the Gospels, and also in the Old Testament, particularly in Leviticus. This man was suffering from leprosy in his body, this disease that was eating away at him and would have caused his death if it just carried on without it being healed. Of course, in those days, there wasn't kind of the medicines that they have today for something like this. So I want us to look at this miracle of our Lord's tonight, his miracle of cleansing or healing this man suffering from leprosy, suffering from Hansen's disease. That was the obvious application of this. I don't apologize for this, is to apply it to you perhaps spiritually, to those, to somebody here this evening, especially amongst the young people, who is not yet saved. You've not yet been cleansed or healed from your sin, which is worse than leprosy. Sin is worse than leprosy. Leprosy is just in the flesh, is in the body. Sin is in the very depths of the soul. And sin is a loathsome disease. Sin leads to death, indeed it leads worse, it leads to hell, unless it's cleansed or healed by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So do you, as a young person here tonight, as an older person, do you need to be cleansed or healed from your sin tonight, just like this man needed to be cleansed from his leprosy? That is the question for us, for you tonight. Well, how are we going to look at this passage here? Well, first of all, let's look at this man coming to the Lord Jesus Christ in order to be cleansed of his leprosy in verse 40. And secondly, we have his actually being cleansed of this disease in verses 41 and 42. And then, it's quite an unusual passage at the end here, isn't it, in verses 43 to 45. It's like an epilogue to the miracle where our Lord charges this man after he'd been miraculously cleansed. Instead of charging him to go and tell everybody about what had happened, he tells him not to. He does. And as a consequence to that, our Lord, to some degree, loses his liberty and has to live outside of Capernaum, wherever he was at this time, and he has to minister in more lonely places. But if we have time, we'll look at that at the end tonight. But first of all, verse 40, this man coming to the Lord Jesus Christ to be cleansed of his leprosy. A little bit later on, we'll see this man at his worst, after he's been healed. Now, before he's been healed, we'll see him at his best. So let's look at this man, let's look at this leper coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's look at it particularly if you are an unsaved sinner. And if you like him, he was a man who was full of leprosy. You're somebody full of sin. Full of sin. That's what we are by nature, isn't it? We are full of sin. Empty of grace, empty of the love of God, but we are full of sin. False and full of sin I am, Charles Wesley said. Thou, O God, art full of truth and grace. So what are we told about this man? A number of things. First of all, that he did come to the Lord Jesus Christ. He came up to him. He approached Christ. Approached him, really unlike the teaching in the Old Testament, which said that lepers were to keep their distance. That's why we read Leviticus chapter 13, verses 45 to 46. He approached the Lord Jesus Christ, perhaps knowing there was hope to be healed from this person, from the Lord Jesus Christ. He approached him close enough in order to be touched by our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. And this happened when our Lord was in a certain city. We're not told where by in Luke's Gospel. He may have still been in Capernaum, but it was probably one of the towns or the villages that were in Galilee. And when he was in a certain place, this man, full of leprosy, sees Christ and he falls on or lowers his face to the ground and asks him to cleanse him. We'll see that in a moment. First of all, he simply comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, as he knows that Christ has healed others and he sees there's hope perhaps for him in Christ, that Christ will heal him of his leprosy. And if you are conscious of your sin, well, even if you're not conscious of your sin, if you're not a Christian, that's the first thing that you need to do. You need to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to come to him in prayer. You need to approach him. You need to approach him spiritually, to draw near to him. Especially if you feel that God has given you confidence in him in order to save you from your sins. Young person, older person here tonight, come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Approach him. Approach him with confidence. Approach him with hope. This man must have approached him in faith, by faith, believing who this was and believing what he could do for him. Have you come? Will you come tonight to the Lord Jesus Christ for cleansing in his precious blood, in that fount that was filled for sin and uncleanness? Having come to Christ in this way, he begs Christ, he implores him, perhaps to have mercy upon him. He beseeches the Lord Jesus Christ. And that again is what you need to do if you're conscious of your sin. And you're conscious that you're full of sin. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Plead with him. Sue him for mercy. Come to the Father and ask him to have mercy upon your soul. God, have mercy upon me, a sinner. Pray that prayer tonight. Just like the publican man. God, have mercy upon me, a loathsome, vile sinner. He may not have heard you so far, but he might hear you this evening. I'm just reading at the moment John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress, reading through it again. And there's the testimony of Hopeful as he shares it with Christian as they're going down the way. And Christian asks him about whether he prayed to God for salvation before he became a believer. And he said, yes, he did. He said, did God answer you straight away? He said, no, he didn't. I had to ask and ask and ask again. But finally, God answered my prayer. And the Lord Jesus, or God, may not have answered your prayer so far for cleansing from your sin, but you've got to keep on asking him. Keep on seeking him. Keep on knocking until the door is opened and until you know that God has forgiven you of all your sins. This man came to Christ and he begged him, he implored him to have mercy upon him. And he came reverently. He knelt down before the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew says he worshipped him. Luke, he fell on, he lowered his face to the ground. He dropped down onto his knees before Christ. And this is what he said to Christ. Matthew and Luke says that he said, Lord. And in that Lord is probably more than just a respectful sir. You could probably say that he did recognize who this was. That it was the Messiah, that it was the Christ. This man had faith. He says, Lord, he has confidence in him. He says, if you will, thou canst make me clean. He doesn't doubt Christ's power, but what he doubts is whether Christ's power will be exerted on his behalf. If you will, thou canst make me clean. You can cleanse me. You can cleanse me from my leprosy. And you could say that to God tonight, couldn't you? You could say that to the Lord Jesus Christ. As far as your heart is concerned, as far as your transgressions or iniquities are concerned, you could say to him, Lord, if you will, you can heal me. You can save me. You can redeem me from my sins. Your son died for my sins upon the cross in order to take them away. You are able to save my soul and to grant me this so great salvation. I don't doubt your power to do so. But Lord, are you willing to do so as far as I personally am concerned? The question of whether he can is whether he will for you. That was the question for this man concerning his physical disease. So that's verse 40, and this man coming to the Lord Jesus Christ in this way, as you must if you're aware of your sin, if you're under conviction of sin. But now secondly, in verses 41 and 42, notice here Christ miraculously cleansing him from his leprosy. And before he does, the Lord seeing this man, seeing his approach, hearing what he has to say, seeing what he does, bowing down before him, worshipping him, calling him Lord, before he actually heals him, notice it says that Christ was moved with compassion towards this man. His heart went out to him. He was moved, concerned, moved in his inner being. Literally, it means moved in his entrails, but it means he was moved in the very depths of his being towards this man. He loved this man. He loved the fact that he was coming, the fact that he was showing confidence in him, and that he could do this for him. And so Christ shows his tenderness towards this man, and his sympathy, and his love, and his kindness towards this man. And if the Lord hasn't as yet, may he be moved with compassion over you tonight. May he have mercy upon your soul, to save your soul. So our Lord was moved with compassion. And after that, it wasn't just something that was in his heart. He then demonstrated his compassion. He demonstrated his love towards this man. And he puts forth, he stretches out his hand towards him. And he touches him. He touched many people, didn't he? During his earthly life and ministry in order to heal them. And here is somebody else here. And remember, this man had leprosy. This man was an outcast to society. People wouldn't go near him, let alone touch him. Plucks up the confidence to come to Christ, right close to him, and the Lord Jesus Christ is prepared to touch him with his fingers, to touch him with his hands. And there was healing in that touch, healing in his hands. And also power in what he said to him. And he says to this man, I'm not only able to do it, but I am also willing to do it. He said, I will do this. Perhaps he could say to him, as your faith, so be it unto you. I will do this for you. Be thou clean. Be cleansed. Reminds me of creation. Let there be light, and there was light. Be cleansed. He was cleansed. Perhaps just like Naaman in the Old Testament, who went down into the waters, dipped himself in the Jordan a number of times, 7 times, and his flesh came back to be like a little child's, like a little baby's. Perhaps this man was just the same. After Christ touched him and spoke to him, he was cleansed from all his leprosy immediately. Remember, it was an instantaneous and immediate healing. Not over time, but it was sudden. It was all at once. And it reminds me, my dear friends, as far as you are concerned, you can one moment be sitting there in all your sins, in all your filthiness, in all your unrighteousness and ungodliness. The Lord Jesus Christ can come into your life by his Holy Spirit, God can apply his salvation and redemption to you, apply the precious blood, and one moment you'll be in your sins, and the next moment you can be cleansed in that precious blood. Its power, that blood is effectual, that blood is powerful, it's very precious, very powerful indeed to cleanse us from all our sins, to cover us, to cover all our stains, and for God to impute his righteousness to us when we look to Jesus Christ and when we believe in him. So has the Lord done this for you? Has he cleansed you of your sin? Look at what it says about this man here in verse 42 about his leprosy. The leprosy departed. He was cleansed of it. It left him. And it left him as soon as Christ had spoken. It went straight away. It went immediately, at once, in one moment, instantaneously. It departed from this man. And he was left totally and utterly cleansed. Do you know what that is like, to be cleansed of all your sin? I know that after we become Christians, we do still sin in our bodies. We're still in this body of sin and death. But God then deals with sin's power and pollution in our lives. But when we look to Jesus Christ, he deals with the guilt of our sin. He cleanses us. And his Holy Spirit comes into us. That clean spirit comes into us. And there is that sense that our sin has been dealt with. God has put it behind his back. It's gone. It's been cast into the deepest sea. As far as the east is from the west, so far God separates us from our sins. Have you experienced that? Do you know what it is to be cleansed and healed of your transgressions? Well, this man is cleansed. But now, thirdly, in verses 43 and 45, we have the epilogue to this. And so far, up until this man's cleansing, we've seen him at his best. Perversely, having been cleansed, when you think now he'd be even better, sadly we see him at his worst, because he doesn't obey the Lord Jesus Christ. So the epilogue here is Christ charging him after he'd miraculously cleansed him of his leprosy. So Christ charges him, and he charges him straightly, the authorized says. It means sternly. Strange, isn't it? As though he foreknew what this man was going to do. And so he was quite straight with him. He charged him straightly, he charged him sternly. The figure there is to sternly warn from the snorting of an impatient horse or making a noise in anger. The same word in Matthew 9:30 and Mark chapter 14 and verse 5. So he charges him sternly. He sends him away straight away. And this is his charge to him. He says, now listen, you make sure You see that you say nothing to anybody. Our Lord, it's not revealed here why our Lord Jesus Christ told him not to tell anybody. You'd have thought it'd be the opposite, you know, that this man might act, as it were, as an evangelist for him. But he doesn't do this. Perhaps, again, it's because he doesn't want the crisis that's going to come at the end of his public ministry to come prematurely. By this man telling everybody what had happened, and therefore the authorities persecuting him earlier than they should have done. He doesn't want that early crisis. Or perhaps, commentator says, that our Lord Jesus Christ did not want to be so much known as a miracle worker, but he wanted to be known as a preacher, because he knew that healing people of their physical infirmities may not touch their souls, but it's through the foolishness of preaching that people were saved. Or there could have been another reason why he told him not to say anything to anybody. Or perhaps he knew that if this man went out, told everybody what had happened, so many people would come to Christ, he'd be swamped, and he'd lose his freedom, lose his liberty to go about doing good, which is actually what happened, wasn't it? But he says to him, you make sure you don't tell anything to any man. Tell no one, but go your way. Show yourself to the priest. If they're up in Galilee and Capernaum, this man then had to go down to Jerusalem and to the temple down there, and to show himself to the priest there, and offer for his cleansing those things that Moses commanded, the gift that Moses commanded, which was two clean living birds, Leviticus 14:1-7, for a testimony to them. One bird, this is what they would have done, one bird would be killed. In its blood, the other bird had to be dipped and then released. The blood of the slain bird was also sprinkled over the healed man. Seven times, he was then pronounced cured. And when you think of what they did there in that little ceremony, it's a lovely picture of the gospel, isn't it? When you think of it, Christ died for us in order that we might go free. And when his blood is applied to us, then we are cleansed from all our sins. But anyway, our Lord told him not to say anything to anybody, which is not the case as far as you and I are concerned. This was something special, wasn't it, for this man? This was a particular, peculiar, almost unique charge as far as he was concerned while our Lord was here on earth, exercising his earthly life and ministry. But as far as you and I are concerned, if he saves us, we're not to keep it to ourselves, but we're to go and we're to tell, aren't we? To tell what he has done for ourselves. We're not to keep it to ourselves. We're not to hide our lights under a bushel. We're to tell others what God has done for us. We're to believe in our hearts, and then we're to profess our faith to other people. So what he said to him, he does not say to us. He doesn't tell us to be silent. He tells us to speak. I believed, therefore I have spoken. But this man, we see him at his worst then. He does exactly the opposite. He is disobedient. I don't know perhaps what kind of punishment may have come upon him, what kind of chastisement, but it certainly led to a great deal of inconvenience for our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 45, we're told that instead of doing what Christ did, instead he went out of the town or out of the village, and he began to do what really you and I should do. He was told not to do this, he did it. We are told to do it, we ought to do it. He began to publish the matter, publish what had happened to him. Widely. He couldn't keep it to himself. He couldn't contain himself. He couldn't restrain himself. Although he should have done. We shouldn't. But he blazed abroad, or spread abroad, the matter, the news of what Christ had done for him. Isn't it strange? Christ told him not to do this, and he did it. The Lord Jesus Christ tells us to do it, and so very often we don't. We should be like this man, you know, full of what God has done for our souls, especially because, after all, this man's body was only touched. Our souls have been touched. Our sins have been forgiven. We have peace with God. So much more than this man, we should want to go far and wide, spreading the good news of the grace of God. Well, it did lead to Christ's inconvenience in verse 45. He could no longer openly enter into the city, Capernaum, wherever it was, into any town. He was without in desert places. Perhaps so many flocked to the place where this happened that he just did not have his freedom. He did not have his liberty to exercise his ministry, and therefore he had to go out of the place, and he had to be in desert places. He had to be in lonely places. And yet, this could not stop people coming to him. If he wasn't amongst them, they would come to him. And the passage finishes with great multitudes. The people, in verse 45, they come out to him from every quarter, from everywhere. Luke says, but so much the more went there a fame abroad of him. Great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. Lord Jesus Christ, so powerful. People couldn't stop from coming to him, coming to be healed by him, and coming to be saved by him also. He was such an attraction, wasn't he, while he was here upon earth. So we see in these passages about our Lord cleansing or healing this leper, this leprous man. First of all, he's coming to Christ to be cleansed. Christ cleansing him. And then thirdly, at the end of the epilogue, this man turning out to be rather disobedient and displeasing to God, and a terrible inconvenience to our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. But he comes tonight to you, my dear friend. If he first comes to you and you come to him, and you ask him to forgive you, and he does, what should characterize your life from then on is not a life of disobedience to him, though sometimes we can be, but it's a life of faith and trust and obedience. And obedience to that great commission to go and tell others what God has done for your souls. Will you do that? Will you please God and glorify him by doing that? We should. If he could do this when he shouldn't have done, we should, because we have the authority and we have the commission, the charge to do so.